For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
The top-ranked show in the city.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, old Dirty and the Dilf.
The Big Dilf.
And a.k.a. Psycho T, a.k.a. T-Mill, a.k.a. Moneybags, have the latest for you. Hopefully you had a good week. Hopefully you took the weekend off, man. I did. Good for you. Cause
didn't place any bets this weekend.
I don't want you to be loaded placing those bets.
See, Ron, that's a testament to the hill country, baby. You get up there in that hill country, man. You get on that river. Right. Tyler got on that golf course, too. Man, you get up there in that
so proud of you.
That house that you got with your partners, man. You just invest, man, fully, man. I take all distractions away. Even the ones you love, man. Even the vices that you love.
Yes,
you
just, sir.
You leave them on the phone, man, and you break good bread and enjoy your company, man. That is the Texas Hill Country, folks.
Thought you were about to do an endorsement read there.
I wish they would. Look here. There
you're
wouldn't
right,
be. I
you're
mean,
right.
I think my Coors Light's a pretty damn good fit. Hill Country would probably top it.
Hey, Lord, there you go. The hill country, you'd be all over that, huh? Tackle that one, huh?
I'm telling you, man. I'm working on a little something. I'm going up this weekend.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, work on a little something. What do you think? Well, I'm sure you're back on it today. And big start for Blanco. I do want to get into something here a little bit after we get to Blanco, because I'm inclined not to believe the Astros when they talk about injuries. And now my BS meter is really starting to sniff and to rise up. But first start with Ronel Blanco, and he's been the one, Clint.
How does a meter sniff?
That BS meter. Sniffing. I smell. Yeah, it's
hey, you need to get one of them sounders. And he can sniff behind it.
It's sniffing behind it, baby. But
you smell a little something, huh, Chief?
I'm smelling something. BS, but
for the record, I did not pass gas.
No, I don't smell. There's not a bad stench, but I do smell something. But Ronel Blanco, he's the one, Clint. He's the one that we almost feel, in a major way, is going to benefit from the six-man rotation. That he's the one where it felt like it feels like we can visually see the innings getting to. Him getting into uncharted waters. Not seeing as much with Arrigetti, not seeing as much with Hunter Brown, but Ronel Blanco does seem to be the one where it looks like it's hitting there. And so hopefully this six-man rotation will help him, but it'd be big to see him bounce back because clearly he's been a different pitcher, I'd say, about the last 2 months.
Well, I mean, it's going to be best for all these guys, right? I mean, whether they need it or not, the best case for all of the above is that they got a little more time between every start. And the fact that the team now has got a nice little lead in the division is there's a level of comfort that comes with that instead of every damn start being so high leverage when you're 10 games back or you're sub 500. And so the six man rotation, I think everybody's going to benefit from. In terms of Justin Verlander, I do wonder at what point, like once he gets quote unquote ramped up, which I got to believe he'll be close after this next start. You know, how does he feel about a six-man rotation and pitching every sixth day instead of every fifth day? I think that's going to come into play at some point potentially. If I remember correctly, in the past, he was a guy that wanted to pitch every fifth day, not every sixth day. There's a little bit too much rest there. So I think JV could at some point maybe get them to go back to a five-game if necessary. But
I think at first they're probably – want to let him build.
Yeah, well, I mean, at some point, which I would think this would be the last kind of a ramp-up game, I would imagine he's going to – I mean, he'd be damn near full go this time, if surely the next. So I don't know. I'm just saying. I like the only thing that would even make sense is, in terms of not having a six-man rotation is if for some reason Justin Verlander gets to a point where he needs more.
Yeah.
And I mean, you're talking about one of your top two starters at that point in time. That you got to get him right. That would be priority over you know a six-man rotation. I would think so. But yeah, the six-man rotation is good for all involved as long as you got that. As long as you keep that little lead in the division.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, this is big for him because I think he's headed to the bullpen when these big games start, and I think he'll be probably the first. And I see somebody here on the Champ Slice on YouTube and Twitch. Yes, as a guy that's a piggyback guy, just in case some of these other starters maybe
talking about Blanco.
Yeah, maybe Kikuchi if he's in the starting rotation in the playoffs and can't go. You know, they want to get him out early. I could see him being that. But I mean, he's been the most consistent guy throughout the year. So he can kind of try to build getting back to that. By the way, when I said I smell BS, guys, this Jose Altuve thing is just not making a lot of sense.
That ain't sitting real well with Ron here.
I think this is more than just a day off. I'm not saying it's something serious, but I think there may be something nagging with him just to me because this is what Joe Espada said. Jose Altuve just needs a day off. Joe Espada said Espada planned to sit him one day in Baltimore, but Alex Bregman and the Yordan Alvarez situation complicated things. Espada didn't go into much detail, but said, I've asked a lot from Jose this year. He just needs a breather. Our own Adam Spillane also spoke of him being 34 years old, and they didn't expect him to play this many games. He just had a day off Wednesday. Like last Wednesday, the day that Alex Bregman returned to the lineup, he let off. And this was a similar conversation. They said, oh, it was just a scheduled day off. So he was off Wednesday to end the Red Sox series, play Thursday to start the Baltimore series, and then they wanted to give him another day off during the Baltimore series? He was just off Wednesday to end the Red Sox series. You're saying you wanted to give him a day off then? Hell, it's Monday. Now he needs another day off. So, like, I'm just saying, baseball, I understand, but he needed a day off Wednesday, then play Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then another day off on Monday? That seems a little excessive. Hell, well, I mean.
Playing 126 games of 130 games seems a little excessive, too.
So then, banging. I mean, but two in a row here.
Yeah, don't they have an 18 straight games here? So trying to break that up, maybe for Altuve. Isn't that what I heard? Isn't that right? 18.
Like someone 16, texted 18. Yo, let these people just rest. Okay, I mean that makes sense. I mean, Diaz is about to catch his fourth consecutive game. Catch. Like I just, I don't know. It rings alarms off in my head. That Jose Altuve in a four-game span needs to be booked in with days off. That's like I hope it's nothing serious. I imagine it's not. I hope it's but that doesn't just seem like oh man, he's just getting old, man. He needs a day off Wednesday and Monday. Like I don't know. Hopefully it's not. Like it and maybe I don't know. Maybe they're trying to make this a deal of hey man, we want to kind of get him a day off, you know, in the leading up to the playoffs. I don't know. That is very unusual for baseball, even for someone who's 34, for him to have bookend day offs like that, especially Clint, when Dubon is injured, and now you have to have Shea Whitcomb come make his first start ever at second base in the major leagues. Yeah.
Yeah, they got 18 straight games in 8 days. In 18 days, that'd be a lot of games. The 18 straight games in 8 days. So I guess they're just breaking it up because he's played so much. Huh? You don't like that?
No, I mean you would break it up. They're gonna break it up every four.
I'm trying to do the best I can.
I think there's a perfectly good reason why he needs a day off on a Wednesday, play four in a row. And then a day off on a Monday. By the way, also Joe saying he wanted to get him a day off sometime during the weekend. So even a shorter amount of period. I just don't think it's just that he's getting old. I just don't think it's just that he's getting old. So hopefully he's good and that this, whatever it is that's stopping him, isn't something that gets you.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, Clint, I don't think any of us are surprised here, but the Cowboys finally get it done. I thought Jerry really pushed it. I mean, really pushed it.
Glory hole.
I mean, he pushed it through all of preseason. But CeeDee Lamb gets a four-year, $136 million extension, 100 guaranteed, and a record set for a wide receiver, $38 million signing bonus. He jumps over
that money.
In line. He jumps over Justin Jefferson, making $34 a year. And we'll see what Ja'Marr Chase gets now after this. But you said he should top him, and he did, and they finally got this thing done, even though it took all this time. But they get him in before the season starts.
I think he actually didn't top him.
Oh, is it? It's,
I think it's actually less total, but the record of the $38 million signing up front. I think Jordan Jefferson got 4 years, 140. So he got $500,000 a year more.
Did he get out? Oh, I'm not looking at it. 33.5.
All right, I'm not. No, that could. I don't know. I'm not looking at it, but I know it's real, real close right there. But yeah, look, I like this. I like this with Jerry. I mean, I don't necessarily like him making him wait so long and him missing the majority of camp, if you will.
I don't have time to have a bad time.
Well, Jerry, you are going week one. You might have a bad time, and you're going to have plenty of time that day. So. CeeDee Lamb, I'm sure he's in shape. I'm sure he's fine. I'm sure he'll be fine for week one. You look at the kind of player that he is. I mean, he's a backyard baller anyway. He'll be fine. But this was a must in terms of the Cowboys and Jerry. Unless Jerry was going to burn this thing down and he was going to rebuild and just literally tear it down before you rebuild it back up, which at his age, I wouldn't recommend that. He had to get this deal with CeeDee Lamb done. And whether it's Dak Prescott, you draft somebody, you trade for a quarterback, however it is you want to get it done, that whoever that is you pay or you draft to be the next quarterback, or if you pay Dak, that guy has a much better chance of succeeding if he's got a guy like CeeDee Lamb out there. CeeDee Lamb is such a versatile wide receiver on top of being, that dude had over 1,800 yards last year. I mean, he's such a versatile guy that can do so many different things that an offensive coordinator's dream. This was a must by Jerry, regardless of what route he takes at quarterback.
This is so silly for waiting so long to do this.
Well, I agree with that.
like, you know you're going to do this. Like, this is so silly for waiting this long to do this. Like, it almost seemed like Jerry and them was going to try to call his bluff. Like, we'll see how long this nut going to sit out.
Like, they didn't know my schedule.
I don't know, Clint. I mean, these two have played together. You think this affects the start of the season at all? You think this time that he has missed all of camp?
I don't think it does, but I mean, it's a risk because, I mean, you got to play in 2 weeks and you're going to spend a solid week of that trying to get him ramped up. I don't know what kind of shape he's in. I would imagine he's in phenomenal shape, knowing that at any day and time that this could pop and he'd be back on the practice field. So I would imagine he's in tremendous shape. But, there is a little bit of a risk there bringing him back this late, but they'll get it figured out. He'll be on the field week one. And he'll be on the field making plays week one. So I'm not worried about that.
All right. Man got paid. He'll be back in there. He should be in there week one against Deshaun and the Browns.
5 o'clock fire.
All right. Quarterback trade in the division here with the Texans, and that is the Titans. They're sending their former third-round pick, quarterback Malik Willis, to the Packers in exchange for a 2025 seventh-round pick, per sources. Willis is likely to back up Jordan Love. There were some things to like about Malik Willis. I know I definitely like some things about Malik Willis coming out of Liberty.
Yep.
And he's got a lot of the tools from his legs, and this is a guy that can throw it anywhere on the field, can make any one of the throws. Now, I don't know how accurate they always are, but can make any one of the throws. This, to me, is one. Now, he may not be able to play a lick, and he hasn't really shown that thus far. But this is one to me, Clint, when you give him Todd Downing, his first year as the offensive coordinator on a defensive coach with Mike Vrabel, and then the next year he gets Tim Kelly. you know, it's not exactly the greatest spot you would want your young quarterback in. No offense to those fellas, but we'll see if he can. If there's anything in there, and what we've seen, what Matt LaFleur has been able to do with Jordan Love, this is probably one of the best spots for him to go to maybe get the best out. If there's anything in there with Malik Willis.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those deals where when you go to an organization that can't even settle on an offensive coordinator, they're damn sure not going to find a quarterback, right? I mean, so he's been the place he's been has taught us absolutely nothing about Malik Willis. You know, so I think the jury's still out on who he is. Now, look, he's not going to play much in I don't know who's the backup in Green Bay.
I don't know. That's why they're saying in this they think he'll be the backup.
Yeah, man, that's a hell of a move—a seventh rounder for your backup at this point in time. Good luck with that. Hopefully, Jordan
right
Love
now.
Stays healthy, right? but yeah, look, I think it's so unfair and it's so difficult to tell what a guy brings to the table when he goes to an unbelievably dysfunctional organization that continues the dysfunction while he's there. So I don't know what to think of Malik Willis. I know the dude can spin it. I know he's athletic enough to move around and be somewhat of a dual threat quarterback. We'll see if he gets with a decent organization what they can make of him.
All right, he cracked the case. It's Sean Clifford, old Penn State quarterback, had been the guy there.
Wow, the backup there? Really? All the quarterbacks in this world, and Sean Clifford is running backup for the Packers.
Why you do that to that kid?
No, I'm just,
of
I mean,
all the
just,
quarterbacks in the world.
I mean, it's crazy. It's not just them. It's just, wow, Sean Clifford.
Of all the quarterbacks in the world.
I mean, damn, it took some extenuating circumstances for me to get a shot.
He can't
this
play
dude, this
in
dude's
Auburn.
Gone the whole training camp and is rolling twos with a Super Bowl contending team. Sean Clifford.
He's there. All right, coming up, the big story of the day getting in here was, hey, there's word that teams are out trying to get the services of John Metchie. Trying to get the services of John Metchie. What do you make of that? I think there could be a slippery slope that the Texans are playing if they go through with making a move with him. We'll discuss that coming up.
Casario seems to have a massive Italian brain.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
Just want to say it feels really good to be covering a football team, one. To be in a city that has a football team and to be in a city that has a football team that has a real chance. And we're going to be covering a team that should feel, and many people outside of the doors feel, this is a team that got a chance. This
team in Houston was supposed to be crap.
This is a team that's closer to one of the elite teams than a team that is in the middle of the pack. And it is just, especially what we've had over the last several years, it is great to be a part of that. And with that, small things matter. Small things matter. A lot of things matter. And this to me was interesting. Fellas, and this was it was reported earlier today, this morning. I believe George Schultz had it first. Multiple teams have reached out to the Texans to see if wide receiver John Metchie III would be available in a trade due to the plethora of receivers on the Texans roster. It's also unclear if Houston would actually move him, but several teams are keeping a close eye on the former second-round pick. And I'm going to throw this to you first because I sure enough got my own thoughts on this. But when you hear that receiving calls potentially could be on the move, we've talked about there is a possibility with John Metchie on there. What's your thought? What hits your mind when you think John Metchie potentially somebody the Texans could trade?
Well, I mean, first of all, tip my cap to John Metchie because it was not a good start to camp. I stand behind everything that we discussed up until about 10 days ago. John Metchie was a non-factor with this football team. And John Metchie goes out against the Giants and has a hell of a football game. He comes out last week, plays a lot, only has a couple of catches, but was able to impact the game. And reality is John Metchie didn't just show up and show out over the last couple of weeks camp, but John Metchie showed up and brought and really showcased his ability top to bottom as a wide receiver. We saw him make difficult catches. We saw him catch a ball over the middle in traffic. We saw him create separation with routes in the mid-range game. We saw him create separation with routes on the goal line on the touchdown that he caught. We saw him catch an underneath throw this past weekend and put one of them DBs in a blender and to the point where the guy didn't even touch him. And then I believe he actually punished the defender once he got down there. But anyway, the point being, maybe that was Cam Akers getting mixed up. But nonetheless, first of all, tip my cap to John Metchie and what he was able to do. Put himself in position to be valuable enough for the Texans to keep or valuable enough for the Texans to trade. Either way, I think the last 2 weeks have gone a really, really long way with that. Now you look at John Metchie. I think there's the thoughts of the impact John Metchie has off the field, his chemistry with the offense, with the team is tremendous. And I don't think there's any denying that John Metchie and C.J. Stroud are extremely close. And so I think beyond tipping the cap to John Metchie for what he was able to do in the last 2 weeks, about 10 days, when you start talking about trading John Metchie, I think it's a real conversation. I do believe, though, it's a slippery slope when you talk about C.J. Stroud.
You too.
He and C.J.
Who's the name you brought up? Yeah. There's something there.
I think him and C.J. Stroud are about as tight as it gets. And it's not like we hadn't seen quarterbacks over the years really be fond of wide receivers. Aaron Rodgers and what was his name?
Oh, Randall Cobb.
Randall Cobb.
He's got a couple of them.
It's that simple.
Yeah, so I mean, I just think with when you're talking about John Metchie,
drugs Brandon Stokley a couple of places.
Yeah, he did. It's not crazy to think that the C.J. Stroud factor with John Metchie doesn't impact whether they're able to move on from. Now, if the team can move on from him because they're just so deep at the wide receiver position, and you can garner a decent draft pick in return, then it's just a conversation you have with C.J. Stroud. But I do think that's a slippery slope, Ron, with John Metchie when you start talking about moving him.
Yeah. For me right now, when I look at the situation and I look at – I think the guys like Robert Woods and Xavier Hutchinson and John Metchie, when you look at that three, I feel like it's been pretty close. Right, there's not everybody's had their moments, and I don't think any of them have just completely separated themselves from the pack. Now, I do personally think that John Metchie may be at the back of that pack when you take all of training camp and all of the games. He and Xavier Hutchinson played in all four preseason games. You take all of it. But I think it's been close enough. And I'm telling you, when you are in a situation of Super Bowl aspirations, AFC championship game aspirations, potentially the most special season that the Texans have ever had or football in Houston has ever had professionally, you kind of want to keep your main guy as good and as feeling good and all of that going into that year. And to me, John Metchie isn't expensive, and they are clearly tight. I mean, they are him, Tank, and John Metchie. They are tight, like those are his guys. And we understand why he is such a fan favorite in the locker room. I think it's a lot of guys. You saw people lit on fire when they saw him do well in that game against the Giants. So I'm with you. To me, I wouldn't move off John Metchie if I were them because of the relationship and the effect he has with C.J. Stroud. Again, I don't think C.J. Stroud would just lose it and would roll over and it would suck. Like, Clint, if you can get a third-round pick for John Metchie, I think C.J. Stroud will understand. But
well,
he'll
just have to understand.
He would.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I mean, but there is a – I don't want to make this – like C.J., it's not a – C.J.'s not – at this point, it wouldn't be a crazy thought to want to keep John Metchie in play here. I mean, the future play for the Texans and C.J. Stroud, I think, is very real. The fact of the matter is they're deep at wide receiver right now, but Diggs and Noah Brown, I don't believe, are long-term answers. Not yet. Now, maybe they extend Diggs, and that's a different play. That would also obviously go into a need to be accounted for if you're going to deal Mechie. But right now, those guys aren't long-term play. Robert Woods is not obviously a long-term play if he even makes a team this year. And so while the wide receiver room right now is healthy, there's going to come a time when there's going to be a spot for a really good third or fourth receiver to join the mix here. Could John Mechie be a really good third or fourth guy? Yes, absolutely. So the future play, I think, is real as well long-term with John Mechie, because the story, the impact he has on the team, the chemistry he has with the quarterback, I do think that's all part of the package, the real package that D'Amico Ryans. Everybody out there, I know everybody out there wants to sit around and talk about, oh, it's about putting the best football team. There are guys, there are guys on this team, John starts with John Mechie, that it may not be the best thing for the Houston Texans right now to keep John. John Mechie's in my top six receivers right now for the Texans. I've got him in my top six, so I would keep him. But it may not be the best thing for this football team right now. And this coaching staff has to sit around a table and discuss. And the things that some people say don't matter, a lot of people say don't matter, the way that this team responds when Mechie makes a play, the chemistry between him and his quarterback, and I'm talking about off the field, like the relationship between him and C.J. Stroud, these are all things that you better bet your bottom dollar are being discussed around that table with the decision makers. Absolutely.
Whether trade, cut, move on, whatever, if it's close between Mechie, combination of Mechie, Woods, and Hutchinson, any of that, Sims, any of that, to me, the relationship with CJ, I could see and I believe would win out potentially if it's anywhere close between some of those guys. All right, coming up as we continue rolling through here, by this time tomorrow, we'll know what the roster looks like, and we potentially not only may see them lose guys, but add guys. Curious of the positions they may be looking to add to. That's one to look at as well. So we'll finish the thoughts with that coming up as we continue to ride here.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
On The Drive.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Astros got a tall task against them. They're facing one of the best pitchers in baseball, Zach Wheeler, on the mound to go up against Ronel Blanco, and they're doing it without the best player in the history of the franchise, Jose Altuve. And this is one where it's caught me off guard, fellas. This is one that has caught me off guard. And I don't know, it shouldn't. It really shouldn't. It's caught me off guard, the reaction that people have had towards me, because I've said, something seems off with this Jose Altuve situation.
Is that my boy Ron?
A man right here said, Ron, starting mess again, conspiracy theorist. And then my favorite, Ron, you take days off. All you do is sit on it and jack your jaws.
Hold on, Joe.
Okay, so I do take days off, but I'm talking sports that they're trying to win a championship. And maybe that is nothing to you. I think if it's not, I think you're just really hopeful. But it is unusual, and not a conspiracy theorist. It is unusual for a guy to take off that plays every day to take off a Wednesday and then a Monday. That is unusual for that to happen in a race 4.5 games up in the division. Like, it's unusual for that to occur. Now, hopefully there is nothing wrong with them, and this is legitimate with Joe. By the way, this is the Astros again. I want to also bring to the table when it comes to their great record of being truthful and honest with injuries. I think it is unusual that a guy sits down there and he says, "Yeah, man, I wanted to get him off. I wanted to give him a day off against the Orioles." Well, hell, he just had a day off in the last game of the series against the Red Sox. You wanted to give him 2 days off in 3 days? I think that's unusual for a guy that plays every day. So again, hopefully he is good, and there's nothing with it. But and it ain't crazy. I mean that is weird. Someone, that's why I call you Big Messi, I guess.
Big Messi.
Because I'm serious, Tyler. When you look at the situation,
is that Leo's brother.
I don't know who that is. When you look at this,
no, Leo Messi.
You, oh, Leo. Oh,
big, you're
oh,
Big Messi. He's Leo, no, he's Leo,
he's
Leo Messi.
He's Leo Messi. I'm Big Messi. Leo Messi. I'm bigger than him. Probably not taller. But like when you look at this thing without Altuve, you think, oh, this is just normal.
No, once I came to that realization that he had that day off we talked about last week, it's definitely a bit odd. I'm hoping that it really is just managing an aging player. But I don't think you're off base by wondering a bit.
If it's managing an older player, I wonder what we'll see moving forward then.
Well, I mean, they have done a pissy poor job of if it has anything to do with age. I mean, he's played 126 of 130 games. It has nothing to do with his age.
The day
they looked up and were like, oh damn.
The day.
Well, no, I mean they got 18 games in 18 days, and this is in the middle of, or no, it's not in the middle of it. I guess you're in the first third of that.
That you take it to in the days off.
I mean, maybe he's just at a point where he's like, "Hell, man, I need him, man. I'm exhausted."
Yeah, I just, to me, when it all comes together, if Altuve would take a day off, who would be the primary person you would think to replace him?
Dubon.
So the day after he runs into a wall and he's hurt and he's unavailable. Like he goes off.
Yeah,
and
then
your logic and then, is
and
there.
And then they have a guy in Shea Whitcomb who started for the first time at second base.
Yeah, it's not the craziest thing you've
what
ever
he
said.
Said was, yeah, man, I wanted to give him a day off in the Orioles series, which comes off the heels of him just having one off. And he said the reason he couldn't do it then is because of Alvarez and the Bregman. Issue with Bregman. Although Bregman was in the lineup for all those games, but the issue with Bregman. But now, his primary second baseman that would come in for him is out. I just look.
He gave Bregman 5 days off. He gave Jordan 3 days off against the Orioles. I mean,
those guys are days off.
Sleep wrong is code for I'm exhausted. Good, I'm fatigued.
There it is. I got one. Agreed completely, Ron. Not making a ton of sense.
No, none of it makes sense.
I mean, is it Ronspiracy? I think that's cute.
Ronspiracy.
I like that.
That's got legs, Tyler. Note that right there. This is another Ronspiracy.
Come on, talk about just let that man have a day off. He just had one. They're going against one of the best pitchers in the National League, and Zach Wheeler. We don't have Tucker. Let's sit him down. But they're going to struggle today. If you're swinging at these pitches, they're going to struggle today. All right. No biggie, man.
Ronspiracy. That
Ron
is Spiracy, good.
Ronspiracy, man. That Unfortunately, is Ron, it pains me to have to agree with you on the Altuve thing. It doesn't pain you. Why does it pain you?
Yeah, I'm not real worried about it.
I know you're not.
I'm just like, are you worried about something, or are you just think it's silly?
I am. I am concerned that there is... There's something that is.
Oh, okay.
That like I no, I don't think he's just. I don't think he's just sitting out because he's 34.
Oh yeah, I don't think it's age either.
That's not to the point you're saying is, hey man, hell man, y'all been riding his ass. So when he plays Zach Wheeler and Dubon's unavailable, and he just had a day off Wednesday, we can't get him in. Get out of here with that. All right, coming up behind us, Texans All Access. Talking about Caserio and how this roster is taking shape, as they do have less than 24 hours now to get down to 53.
Rock and roll.
So they'll discuss that. That's going to be big conversation. And remember, We're also live and local to 11, Area 45, Bajani and Creighton. They'll have the post-game show for this World Series rematch from a couple of years ago between the Astros and the Phillies. They'll be having that live and local till 11 right after Texans All Access. So that is coming up next. All right, Clint, tomorrow we'll be talking about this time is who's off this team. But I think also, fellas, we're going to be talking about who is on this team and who's potentially been added. Because, you know, we heard D'Amico say it earlier. Yeah, we're looking around the league also to find the best players and best potential fits to come and help this team. And we were talking about a bit like, where are there even any real cuts or anything defensively? Are there any issues defensively on you know, who may make this team or who may miss it? It seems like it's more on the offensive side of the ball. But I'm intrigued, Clint. If they're going to make moves, if they're going to add somebody, we're talking about the releases, but if they're going to add somebody, what are the position groups? Like, where do you think that's coming from? Where they're looking at?
Oh, I think without a doubt, interior defensive line. I think, right? I think the first big name interior defensive lineman, I say big name, I mean, probably ain't too many big names gonna come off or come on the board here. But the biggest names to hit the wire or to become free agents, I would think the Texans are going to be hot and heavy on them. I think linebacker is a possibility,
yeah,
as well.
That's what I was thinking, linebacker.
I think those two spots, everywhere else you've got a surplus, if we're being honest. I mean, if assuming health, you got plenty of corners and options at corners, deep defensive ends, you're okay with. It's interior line and defensive tackle.
I think interior offensive line too, potentially. I like we talked about Kendrick Green after seeing it, because he's maybe the first guard potentially going in. I don't know. Patterson has not really stuck out to me this year in this camp, so I wonder how they feel about the interior offensive line to go along with that interior defensive line you talked about.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that could be definitely a point. But I think they're set everywhere else, man. I mean, maybe some depth. A different looking tight end, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, right now you got kind of a hybrid in Brevin Jordan, and you've got a guy that's been playing the position for about 2 years in Cade Stover and Dalton Schultz, obviously. Maybe somebody that's a little bit more of a mauler, less known, but put your hand in the dirt and move folks kind of deal, help this run game. I think that's needed desperately, Ron. To be honest with you, that's just talking this thing out, flushing it out, like a tight end that can put his hand in the dirt and is just nasty. And I don't know. Look, I don't know how many of those guys are out there. I mean, I'll take a guy that comes in and gets penalties. Like, just be nasty. At the point of attack, change the game for this offensive line. Like that could be a plus. You're not gonna get that out of Brevin. You're not gonna get it, obviously, out of Dalton Schultz. Cade Stover, you might get it out of one day, and maybe they roll with him. But that could be something. Tegan Quatoriano obviously is not gonna work out with the injuries. So that could be a possibility offensively as well.
I also think, especially what we saw Saturday, and what we're talking, some people are texting in the offensive line, but what we saw Saturday, if they want to, and they want, like we heard D'Amico talk about it a bit, but if they want to have a fullback on this roster, on this team, if they want to use that, yeah. I don't know that person's here right now.
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit in the post game. I think that's how British Brooks makes a team.
Think so?
I mean, he showed some pop in last week's preseason game. Hairston absolutely messed the bed.
Yeah,
Beck's hurt. I don't know how much you want to – I think it all just depends on, like, how long is Beck out? Is Beck a be ready for week one guy? Then it's a no-brainer. If he's not, then a young guy like British Brooks, I could see you limiting the fullback packages – and trusting that he'll go out there and thump somebody if need be in those goal line third down situations. I could see him making it, you know, because you can also obviously trust him to carry the rock too, the way he carried it in the preseason. So
I wonder if they've seen enough that he can handle that role at fullback. Because and we talked about, they may go with the tight end situation to do that, but if they actually want a thumper, yeah, I wonder if they've seen enough from him.
Yeah, I mean, he is my rookie, off the radar rookie that could make this team, and I think it's at a position fullback versus tailback for me. He's my off the radar guy, the young, unproven guy that kind of comes out of nowhere. He's the guy that I got making it.
All right. All right, coming up behind us, remember again, Texans All Access. They'll build more on this conversation. And John Harris, one of the best in the business to listen to. So stay tuned for that if you're looking for more action on how they build this roster. And that's coming up soon with John and Mark Vandermeer. Also behind them, Area 45, Bajani and Creighton as well. So stay tuned for that as that continues right here live on Sports Radio 610. Clint, great job as always. Tyler, welcome back. Great job as always. I am Ron Hughley. As always, Houston, we love you, baby.
You went vodka 18 holes?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Were you cross-eyed when you got off?
And a few fireball shots. I was drinking Nooners, too, actually, now that I think about it. Those high noons.
Yeah, those are good.
Yeah, those are refreshing.
Oh, man, it was awful. I don't know how you do it, man.
Fireball.
I think there was only like two or three of the 14 of us out there that were drinking beer on the course.
Y'all was out there getting that.
The debaucherous group?
I wonder what that back nine looked like.
And got off the rails
really,
a little
bit. I really was. The only one that I saw, and he wasn't in my group of four, but the only one in our group I saw that looked kind of sloppy on the back nine was old Blaine. But that's to be expected. Yeah, shocker. When someone else instead of me
always seems to know the way. Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.